Hey guys, I'm Alex.
True.
Today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're back talking about all the things we miss in the latter half of 2022 because we suck. Let's go. Hey guys, it's been a hot minute. Yeah. We got one episode of season four on August 8th. And in that time, I moved houses, moved cities.
Yeah.
Drew has both been hired and fired as a professor. Just kidding about the fired part.
I hope.
Went through an entire semester of teaching. I've traveled twice for work. It's been truly maddening, and that's why we have not had a bunch of episodes lately.
I wrote a novel.
You finished?
Wow, I didn't finish.
Oh, NaNoWriMo's over.
Yeah, I got the 50,000 words, but the story's not over.
That's 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah. It took me 10 years, but now I've finished 2 years in a row. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done this, so much so that I need to pause already because I need to go get some water.
Oh, yeah, we can get water for this.
We're going to leave this in, not me pausing to go get it, but just to let you know, it's been a while.
We're going to get some water, and literally seconds from now, you'll be hearing us again.
Yes.
Be right back. Oh, that water is refreshing.
Tasty.
Palate moist.
I'm going to apologize right now for two things. Well, three things. I apologize for pausing the podcast right away.
Yeah.
I also apologize for all of this sound that you're going to hear.
Yeah.
As I access my water instead of leaving it open and spilling it. And I'm also going to apologize for this.
Very gassy today.
That's the chair. It's the chair I'm sitting in. I promise. It's the chair.
I got this little mini Yeti.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it got a nice little...
Oh, nice.
So I'll make sure that you hear mine.
Nice. Well, so we already kind of talked about what we've been up to.
I mean, kind of. So you last heard us on August 8th, and we were doing a Devil's Reign
which we'll
probably get back to eventually.
If you've listened to us from the beginning, you know the end of a season always marks an unfinished series.
Right.
The first season ended whenever we got busy and never came back to House of X, Powers of Ten. I can't remember what it was that we didn't finish on the next season. And then I don't know what happened. But yeah, this one, we started Devil's Reign, got all the way of one episode in to our season four, and we're officially abandoning season four. Calling this the beginning of season five.
Yeah, season four, shortest podcast season ever. Yeah. Maybe, actually.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Welcome to season five. It is now December 1st, 2022.
Yeah. We were doing pretty good at the beginning of this year.
Yeah. Like, I think we were going hot and heavy up through February into, like, maybe the first or second week of March.
Uh-huh.
And then the wheels fell off.
Right.
You got busy. I got busy. We went on a 2 week hiatus that became 6 months.
Yeah. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Six months later.
Yeah.
Yeah. The SpongeBob thing.
And then we got in. We're like, all right, we're going to do it. And didn't realize how our schedules were going to change to where, like, basically Monday and Wednesday are no man's land for me because it's like, I got to get ready for my class. And then just, that left 3 days whenever I needed to get other things done. And half the time, Alex was busy.
Yep.
And, you know, so.
It's tough.
Life happens. By the way, we're recording in a completely new space.
Yeah.
We've gone back to the OG condenser mics because I A-B tested them. And I felt like I liked the quality of our sound more coming through these than the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that after this episode, we go back to the dynamic mics that
we've
used for the past couple years. Let us know if you hear a difference and what you think. We're in a much liver room, but it doesn't sound as live as when I tried to use these in the past. So who knows?
And we'll probably treat this room going forward to an extent. We're not doing video right now. We'll go back to video once we get back in the swing of things. It's just audio. But if you could see right now, This is like a partially painted room. Still getting moved in, mostly settled in, but once we get everything painted, maybe we'll put like some of those felt, like nice looking felt pad designer things up. Treat the room. But anyway.
That was the chair.
You came here not to hear about our house plans.
You came to hear about our
comic book plans.
Yes. Speaking of comic book plans.
Yeah.
Just speaking of comic books. Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
In the past 3 months, what you been reading, yo?
I actually have been reading.
Hey, that makes one of us.
So I've got a little stack here.
That we can all see.
That everybody can see. These are a few that I've picked up lately that I've read through. Let's see, which of these have I not read yet? So there's a new Fantastic Four number one. Ryan North is doing the story for that. Chris Cantwell just finished up his 25-issue run on Iron Man. Been super good. I lack just a few issues on that. And then like the main thing I've been reading is Tom King's Human Target. And let me tell y'all, one of the best comic books I've read in a long time. Tom King does it again. And then Greg Smallwood's art. Sheesh. So good. Read a few other things. Let me see. Can I pull up? How fast can I pull up my Marvel Unlimited?
One, two, three.
Hurry. Oh, four, it's pulled up.
Five. I don't even know if I'm counting actual seconds.
My library. It says I'm offline. Oh, turn the Wi-Fi back on. Try again. Continue reading. I've been reading counting. Some Avengers, some Death of X, some older Black Panther. A whole bunch of I read more Devil's Reign. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here. I've been reading, not as much as I did when we were like really in the swing of things, but I'm trying to slowly get back into justifying my $9 a month that I spend for Marvel Unlimited.
I haven't opened Marvel Unlimited in 3 months.
Wow. What have you been reading, yo?
I think I talked about it in our last thing because I started it back in March, I think. But I started rereading the Dark Tower series, Stephen King's Dark Tower series for the fourth time. And I finished that about a month ago. And then I jumped over to reading his new book called Fairy Tale. And I just finished that the other day. I did read a little bit of comics in the past 3 months. I opened up the DC Universe app at one point.
Nice.
And I read some Doom Patrol, because that's one I'm just trying to make it through, the Grant Morrison run. And also, between the Dark Tower and Fairy Tale, I decided I wanted to read some actual comic books from my stack of shame. So I dug through the indie bundle that Colby got me for Christmas last year, and I read like six or seven Masks, a series called Masks. It's by Dynamite Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Green Hornet, The Shadow, The Phantom, like all those kind of, would that be noir?
Yeah, like, I think like film noir-esque style stuff.
Just a parallel universe. And it's just like,
is it the inspiration for like that Green Hornet movie?
Yeah, because that's been around for a long time.
Right.
Like those guys. And there's a bunch of other ones, but they apparently exist in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the Masks one is like where they're coming together to fight people. And I don't know, I found it really interesting. I didn't have a full run. Like I would have number 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, you know. But I was still able to put the story together pretty well. And it made me think, I wonder if Dynamite has any sort of app where I could go and read all of these. I don't know. I got on there and I think you can buy them by Dynamite Comics digitally, but I don't know that they have an app.
They're on Comixology.
I didn't even think to check there actually.
Seems like to be the de facto indie spot to get your books.
But yeah, it was interesting. The good storytelling.
Yeah.
Art was pretty good. It might have been the first Dynamite Comics I've ever read.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So we've been reading, not as much as we used to, but we do truly intend to get back into the swing of this and have some consistency. I think one of the big overwhelming things that we do plan to get back to eventually is the video aspect of it, because it is so cool. But it was a lot of work, and far and away more of you listen to it than actually watch. So we might need to grow a little bit more before we just dive into that. But we have some stuff in the works. I think it's going to be super cool. But we also decided that what better way to get back into the podcast than hitting off the Alex and Drew Rank the MCU and getting back into the flow of that. Now, We're going to talk about that. The most recent film that we did watch was last week.
Yep.
We watched Thor Dark World.
And where we had left off.
And we'll have our thoughts on it. We'll get our ranks out and look at our sheets and see how we compare. That'll be kind of the bulk of today's episode. And then we also saw Black Panther Wakanda Forever. What else has come out since then? Did we do Thor Love and Thunder? Did we talk about that on the last podcast?
It's been long enough that I think I would do a disservice if we tried to talk about it.
Okay. We can just say if you liked it or not.
We also watched Black Adam.
Black Adam, yes. That came out recently. We saw that one. That was good. I watched the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Have you seen that
yet? No, I've been waiting until Holly's ready to watch it.
Also, Werewolf by Night.
Oh, yeah.
I feel good talking about both of those. We don't have to go like deep dive or anything. Just kind of give some general thoughts. But so let's do some of those first. Let's talk Black Adam. Let's talk Werewolf by Night, if you can remember some of that. And then Wakanda Forever. And then we can get into our actual Alex and Drew rank the MCU, and we'll kind of recap where we're at in the rankings, what we have coming up, and kind of where we're calibrated for right now.
Cool.
Let's start with Black Adam. We don't do a lot of DC stuff on here recently. What did you think of that movie overall?
I liked it. I knew nothing of Black Adam other than what I would have read in Crisis on Infinite Earths. I didn't speak very well. So, I mean, I know he's kind of a anti-hero, sometimes maybe full hero, sometimes full villain. What's the name? Kondak?
That's
the savior of Kondak. And kind of the anti to Shazam / Captain Marvel, depending on which parlance you want to use.
I didn't realize. I knew he was a Shazam character. I didn't realize that he literally got their powers from the same wizards.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
But yeah,
somehow he seems more powerful though.
Yeah, like
not even close to Shazam.
Yeah, when me and Alex were walking out, I was just like, so wait a minute. Is Shazam even worthy to fight against him? Because like when I watch the Shazam movie, mm-hmm. he looks like he could get his butt kicked if he's not careful.
Yeah.
You know, but Black Adam, it was just like anything he did. And there was no question for how powerful he was, it felt like. And I was just like, is there any actual competition? Maybe mm-hmm. if you're listening to this, you can let us know. Reach out to us. Take us to school on Black Adam. But
yeah, they had some like great. So first off, I was just excited to see this because it was so polarizing. So I have the Rotten Tomatoes scores up right now. The critics gave this a 39%. All over it.
The
audience score, 89%.
Yeah.
Huge swing. So critics weren't loving this. I don't know if it's because I don't know. There seems to kind of be like a little bit of a movement right now of just like, oh, superhero films are dominating the box office. There's no room for like any real movies and it's changing the dynamics. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Like, I think Quentin Tarantino has been quoted recently and Martin Scorsese, just like two film director icons are just like, no, this is dumb. I can't wait for this to die. I don't think it's going anywhere. But anyway, just the polarizingness of the scores alone, I was like, okay, am I going to like this or not? Because there have been several movies that I tend to lean towards the critics' scores more often than not, I think. So I was like, dang it, I really wanted to like this. And I went in there and was pleasantly surprised. Definitely skew way more towards the audience score. Now, the movie's not perfect. Very few are. But I overall had way more fun, and I'm glad it exists. And I think it leaves like a great spot for James Gunn and the other guy, I forget his name, that are taking over DC and kind of rebranding to the DCU. Mm-hmm. Super cool. Also, to speak to what you were talking about a second ago, like he did seem like crazy powerful in this movie. Like one of my favorite parts of this was like, I feel like they did a good job of introducing four new characters in the Justice Society.
Yeah.
So we had Hawkman played by,
I can't remember his name.
Let's look.
While you're looking, I'll pick up and say the one that I do know. Dr. Fate, played by Pierce Brosnan.
Aldous Hodge played Hawkman, yeah. So Dr. Fate was Pierce Brosnan. That was one of my personal favorites. Great Dr. Fate. Noah Centineo was Adam Smasher. Sarah Shy was Adriana Tomas. Oh, yeah, that was the mom. Cyclone was where? Contessa Swindell was Cyclone.
And obviously, The Rock.
Yeah,
Dwayne Johnson, Black Adam.
Super cool, a lot of fun. I don't recall there being any spiciness or anything. I think it was a PG-13, right? They might have got their F word in,
maybe, yeah,
or something like that. A little light cursing, if you will. Yeah. But otherwise, I don't remember anything too scandalous. If you tend to kind of look out for that sort of stuff before you go watch a movie, but overall, I think it's a great spot for them to kind of like push forward. Yeah. And there seems to be a lot of hype behind. I'm forgetting the name of the other gentleman who's helming like co-CEO of DCU as like moving forward. But I know James Gunn is the one that everybody's excited about because he's kind of made arguably the two best entries in the DC film franchise so far. Plus he's had some smash hits with the Guardians stuff in the MCU. So what better guy to try to Kevin Feige-ify the DCU.
And a quick spoiler warning. I don't think we've actually said anything that spoils anything yet.
No.
I am dropping the spoiler warning right now for the post-credit scene, mid-credit scene, whatever it was.
Really, just for anything. I guess we can do them individually. If you want to skip this, come back in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, we'll try to be quick about it.
Yeah.
Just hit the advance 30 button four times.
Spoilers for Black Adam post-credit scene.
Yeah. Henry Cavill is back in the Superman suit.
Yes.
And I knew it. Like from the moment they showed him suspended in the fog, the way that his cape billowed, I was like, oh, he's back. His suit is a little bit brighter than we've seen in the past. So leaving the door open, like if you saw the end of Peacemaker, we saw all of the original Justice League cast except for Henry Cavill and Gal Gadot, whatever. There's no reason to assume that Gal wouldn't be around. They probably just couldn't get her for that.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of speculation about whether Henry Cavill might be back, and he's back in the suit, and he was like, we need to talk.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about that, thinking that there might be a way forward.
Yeah, well, they did a good job making Black Adam seem like he was absolutely manhandling the Justice Society. Yeah. And like, for those of you who don't know a lot about Dr. Fate, he's more or less a Dr. Strange-esque character, maybe stronger in some reserves in the DC. They did take some liberties with him. I kind of wish, I think I talked to Drew about this. So his thing is like the superhero is the helmet, really. It's like whoever wears the helmet of Dr. Fate is embodied with his powers. Yeah. But in the comics and in the animated stuff, if you put that helmet on, the spirit of Dr. Fate does not want to let you take it off. Like it's kind of a give up your soul or give up your life to have these powers. And they didn't quite do that in this, which I get it. You have a tenured actor like Pierce Brosnan. You're not just going to put his face in a gold helmet for the whole movie. Like the actors need their faces.
And it makes them so great. For what it's worth, it did feel like Pierce had this for a long time.
Yes.
So maybe he had kind of come to terms with the helmet.
Sure.
Yeah. And we were catching him at the tail end of his career. Because the Justice Society is like the original superhero team.
Yeah.
So
before Avengers, before Justice League.
So like it could be that they're saying it's kind of like how we catch Batfleck at the end of his career.
Yeah.
This is like Dr. Fate at the end of his career.
Yeah.
He's made peace with the helmet. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, sure. I some people get angry if you start headcanoning to save, a movie. I'm fine with it personally. I do the same thing because I think we have to assume that these characters have some backstory and that we didn't just blip into existence here. Super, super interesting characters with Cyclone and Atom Smasher. They kind of like, so I've always praised the Russo brothers for how eloquently and gracefully they introduced Black Panther and Spider-Man in a Captain America Civil War that's already chocked full of other characters. They have to give their moments, and somehow they just... Oh, and also Baron Zemo. Like, a lot of really rich characters in very relative short minutes on screen. Mm-hmm. This, I would say, is not quite that, but it definitely didn't drop the ball. Like, I felt like I cared about those two characters by the end of the movie, like Cyclone and Atom Smasher. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I would love to see more of those characters.
A ton of questions because, like,
sure.
I've seen Atom Smasher and stuff, and this was like the grandson of Atom Smasher or something like that. But, like, even Hawkman, like, I've got a ton of questions about what's going on with him. Like, I'm hoping we see more of him.
Yeah.
Like, there was a
Aldous Hodge.
Yeah.
Great actor.
Yeah. I was trying to remember where I've seen him. I think I saw him first in a Supernatural episode.
Oh, okay. I've never watched that, but I know it's definitely not his first rodeo. I mean, he looked great.
Yeah.
They kind of had... I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. it doesn't warrant being said. Anyway, I enjoyed the movie.
Me too.
I would absolutely watch a sequel. I'll watch that movie again when it comes out. Just to get, Katie hasn't seen it yet. She didn't go
and
with
they,
us.
They did set up that it would make sense for this to keep going. You know, I'm kind of curious to see. I wonder if we'll see any of him in the new Shazam movie or if it'll just be like, maybe they'll make a mention of him.
Oh, I didn't even finish my thought. I started going off on Dr. Fate minutes ago. I was explaining how strong he is and then explaining how, like, Hawkman in this, he's real strong. Atom Smasher is kind of like an Ant-Man character. Mm-hmm. Cyclone, you can imagine, does, like, windy tornado stuff. And Black Adam was just, like, wrecking them, the like, only, constantly.
Yeah. If you've jumped ahead and wondering if you're about to get spoiled, here's a follow-up spoiler. Because we talked a lot longer than 2 minutes. I mean, yeah, the only reason they were able to... get him to stop is by talking him down. It was not fighting him. It was like
they got him like momentary cease,
leveling with him, being like, "Look," and he was the one who was like, "Yeah, this is my fault. Mm-hmm. I need to be put away."
Yeah,
and that's the only way that they got him out.
Right, and I mean, all that being said, this is a continuation of the spoilers. By the way, it makes sense that they showed him being so powerful and then show like the one guy who can probably go blow for blow.
Yeah,
Superman shows up in the post credit scene, so. Seems like we're pointing towards an eventual clash.
Yeah.
I really hope they keep him anti-hero. I'm so sick and tired of getting rid of all the good villains. Like,
yeah. I feel like I've heard you talk about
this. It's insane, dude.
And I feel like anytime I'm seeing a villain on screen, I don't know, there's a certain amount of me that like I'm almost tired of movies trying to make me feel for the villain.
Yeah.
Like to the point that they're like telling me it's okay to be a villain.
Yeah.
Every villain was a human at one point. And I'm just like, you know, some villains are just jerks. Like,
yeah. Some people are just bad.
I don't want to feel for them because then it makes me start to, yeah, I don't know. It's a very unformed thought in my head, but I've just noticed every villain has their feel sorry for me moment.
Yeah. So let's see. This is like the worst instance of that in comic book film is Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage.
Yeah.
For Carnage, what's his name? Not Eddie Brock, that's the main character. The guy, Cletus Cassidy. Mm-hmm. They tried to make him this like tortured soul and make you feel sorry for him. And that is just not the character. Like it's supposed to be like this one instance of just the whole premise of Carnage is what happens if just the worst person gets symbiote.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what makes it interesting. Like I do like a complicated villain.
Yeah.
You know, like it, you know, Killmonger is a great instance of that. I think Thanos to an extent has some interesting things down in there. But sometimes I'm okay with it just being like, okay, sometimes there are just bad people. And maybe there are like circumstances, but something that is just irredeemable about a character. And to try to kind of shoehorn that redeemable quality in there and make you feel for them, it just doesn't work for me more often than not. This is not superhero related and spoilers for the Jeffrey Dahmer thing, but they kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that and like feel sorry for Jeffrey Dahmer. And after, you know,
that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like,
you know,
it's one thing to show where somebody went wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like always, it's making excuses for people who there's no excuse for.
Right. Yeah. So I think some people confuse that with just interest and maybe there's ways to pull it off. But I mean, just getting back to the villains in general, so many of them either get killed or become an anti-hero / hero. I mean, like I love the show, but like that happened to Loki, right? Like the main villain for the Avengers 1 film.
Yeah.
And like mostly villain would kind of shake hands with Thor temporarily for some other stuff. We'll get to that in a second when we talk about Dark World, but he's kind of just a hero now, right? I mean, I guess still anti-hero is probably the more accurate description. He doesn't seem to be like an Avenger, but I don't know. I'm way okay with them like not killing villains for a while.
Yeah.
Let them get away. Let the heroes lose. That's why Infinity War was so good, right? Like the bad guy won in that film. Like unequivocally Thanos won in an Infinity War and we got to feel that loss. And then that got the payoff later. I just want some more of that.
Yeah.
I hope that Black Adam doesn't become like the leader of the Justice League or something later. Yeah. You know, just let him be at least anti-hero.
I mean,
have his qualms
right there with his conversation at the end with Amanda Waller.
Yeah,
like, you can't leave, or else we're gonna have to send everybody we have after you. And he's like, just send them all.
Right.
Like he didn't leave me thinking, oh, you know, maybe he's just gonna
right.
Keep tabs on his town. No, he's gonna do what he wants, I guess.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I think they're in the right path. I don't know what the critics were smoking when they made those reviews. 39% though, that's like actively a bad movie.
Yeah,
and this just wasn't that.
How often do the critics just tank superhero movies though? Like, could that be part of what it is? It's just
sometimes
all those film bros just saying, oh, it's not Scorsese, so it's
yeah,
garbage.
But I mean they're fair to like the other good ones, you know, like Wakanda okay. Forever did well.
Okay.
You know,
I mean, is it the
I think
same
Peacemaker was rated really high.
Is it the same panel of critics all the time? Or is it just a
so Rotten Tomatoes, it's not like a, it is not the same, no. So okay. It depends if they watch it. So like they can go watch it.
So
and
it could have been
put their thing
by sheer happenstance.
Yeah.
The only people or the majority of people that happened to judge Black Adam
uh-huh.
were the superhero hating critics, and for Peacemaker, it just happened to be a bunch of people who like
right.
it and are more mm-hmm. open-minded. I don't know.
Now, to be fair, Peacemaker, I've never seen a series like be so crude and crass and have so much heart at the same time.
yeah.
It's truly incredible what James Gunn and team pulled off. Like, it is definitely a spicy series, but yeah. man, it made you feel things by the end of it, and I'm glad they watched more of that.
Yeah.
Totally.
If you do not like spiciness, this wouldn't be for you. But just because we're talking about Peacemaker, that podcast I was telling you about,
yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, he interviewed James Gunn, where they talked
oh,
about
cool.
that. He interviewed Stephen Agee, the mm-hmm. the what is his name economy.
Yep.
On there, he interviewed Patrick. The villain, and who's also T-2000,
oh,
whatever.
Oh, the dad, yeah.
Sean Patrick? No, I can't remember what his name is. But yeah, he's Michael Rosenbaum is kind of in. He mm-hmm. By the way, Michael Rosenbaum played Lex Luthor on Smallville.
Right.
But he has a podcast where he's just always talking to people. And he's friends with James Gunn and kind of that ecosystem of people. He had on Sean Gunn. And
cool.
So like if you ever would be curious to hear some of these people talking about their lives as actors, being in movies, directors. Go check out Inside of You podcast with Michael Rosenbaum.
Not sponsored.
No, but it's good. I listen to it all the time now.
Yeah.
So
super cool. Cool. I think that's all my thoughts on Black Adam. Let's talk Wakanda Forever while we're
cool.
While we're in the big movies.
Remind me what happened. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
we should have recorded this like right after, but yeah. Life happens.
Sure did.
But yeah, 'twas a good film.
That's all we got to say about that.
All right. Moving on.
Yeah, it was a great film. A lot of people kind of said it was trying to do too much and trying to tackle too many things. But honestly, for all of the content that they had to address, the passing of Chadwick Boseman and that bleeding into the, you know, passing of T'Challa, also spoilers for this entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's no secret that they were not recasting the Black Panther. They were going to move on and pay respect to Chadwick and him passing. I love they address it right away. Like opening scene before you even see the Marvel logo is Shuri trying to save her brother. And man,
yeah,
give Letitia Wright at least a nod for like the acting. It was just crazy amounts of heavyweight and emotion. She's, you know, she's supposed to be the smartest person in the world and she can't save her brother, you know, like, it's I think Kevin Smith said it real eloquently. He was like, you know, how often do we get to see these like superheroes that are just like overcome just insane odds, you know, like T'Challa running towards Thanos holding an Infinity Gauntlet, you know, just all these things, but they can't overcome cancer, you know, like it's mm-hmm. way heavier, very close to home for a lot of people, and they kind of just tackle that head on like right away in the opening scene, which I think was smart.
Yeah,
you want to address it, but you don't want it to necessarily hang over the entire film, mm-hmm. you know, so that we can move forward. And they do come back to it in certain moments as well, but they just handled it extremely well. There's a lot of weight. Incredible acting from, what's her name? The queen, what is that actress's name? I'm so bad at this whenever I'm...
If you're bad at this, then I'm inexcusably bad.
IMDb. Wakanda Forever. Her name...
We should have...
Angela Bassett. Okay. Duh. Queen Ramonda. Incredible acting from her. Like, I'd be actually surprised if she doesn't get some sort of not like supporting actress for the Oscars or something. Like, when she's spoilers again, like, she's firing Okoye for losing Shuri. Yeah. And she's like, have I not lost everything? You know, like, yeah. Oh man, like, rip your heart out. The music done by Ludwig van Göransson, who did the first film, he did Childish Gambino's most recent album, he did Mandalorian. Like,
Jinx.
That dude.
You owe me a Coke?
I do owe you a Coke. Coke on me. That dude is crazy awesome. And just the sound design, man, through that whole film. Speaking of sound design, I think this was the first one where I preferred the IMAX mix more than the Dolby Atmos mix, which really surprised. Usually I go in, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. I was super aware of all like the spatial effects in the IMAX, and it seemed to me pretty balanced. Now, I'm also like hard of hearing from years of destroying my ears. Wear earplugs, kids, especially if you're on the drumline. Super awesome sound design. The opening scene where the French missionaries are like attacking the Wakandan embassy thing or the Wakandan lab, and like you start hearing the whoop, 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 and the Dora Milaje come out of that. Oh, I got chills just thinking about it just now.
Yeah.
So awesome. And then they bring them to that meeting of the UN or whatever when Queen Ramonda is giving her speech. Such a cool moment. Tanakh Huerta playing Namor, super great actor. Would love to see more of that.
By the way, as we were walking out, I was asking Alex, or maybe it was later on, if he knew much about whether how comic book accurate that was. And I don't know, but like I think I saw some comic book pictures that like looked just like that. So
like what?
Like their depiction of him.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I was wondering if they had just conjured that up from the...
Yeah, it's been leaning that way more, too. I think way early on, he looked like of some, like, Asian origin. And they've kind of changed that a little bit. I'm glad they leaned into the Mayan Aztec thing a little bit more. Yeah. The fun flavor stuff, Niño Sin Namor, him getting his name. The child of the boy with no love.
Yeah.
So Namor, Niño Sin Namor. Super cool. What else do we get? I've heard, so I didn't think about this in the moment, but going back, like listening to some other reviews, it is also not perfect. I don't think it's bad by any means. It's still probably the best MCU thing that's come out this year. They introduced Riri Williams, aka Ironheart, which is super awesome, super cool character.
Check back in some of our later or our back catalog if you want to learn more about Ironheart.
Yes, she is played by Dominique Thorne, maybe. She's great. She did her job. The effects were cool. Her suit's cool. They did kind of use her as a reason for Talokan, which is the MCU's Atlantis and Wakanda, to go to war a little bit. Like, she's just kind of like the reason, because she's the one that made this machine that was mining vibranium. And then the Wakandans try to get to her at the same time as the Talokanians. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Atlanteans is what I want to call them, but I think they avoided that because Aquaman beat them to the underwater stuff.
Yeah.
It just seems like a little bit of a weird reason for them to go to war, which is what it really, I mean, if you think back, it's kind of what it is. Like, they both going after this girl, the Wakandans are trying to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of the same thing they did with America Chavez's character and Doctor Strange. Like, find America Chavez, Strange is going for her at the same time the Scarlet Witch is, and then now they're fighting.
Mm.
I can think of personally like better reasons for that to happen. You know, it would make more sense if just Namor was wanting to get back land that was taken from them. Because they kind of hinted that, right? Like, they get forced to the sea because of this thing, and they kind of lose some of the stuff that was theirs before. So it makes sense that they want to come back for the land. And now they know that Wakanda's without a Black Panther. So now's the time to strike. That's more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they still could have found a way to bring Riri Williams into the thread of her, just her genius being able to help Shuri with something. I don't know. Overall, though, great, great film. Cannot recommend it enough. Just so awesome to see, like, just another world, another culture that I've never been experienced with. And yeah. You guys all know I'm a huge fan of representation, and this one punches that in the face. We also get some, like, Contessa De La Fontaine, whatever. I don't know if the film needed it.
Yeah, but it does just start connecting things.
Yeah, I think long-term, they got to plant those seeds somewhere. It just felt a little like, let's go see these guys, and now we're back to the scene. Anyway, great film. Go see it. Buy it. There will be more. Post-credits scene, let's talk about that before we move on. What did you think of that? Like the...
Remind me. I'm sorry. I have a terrible memory.
She meets her nephew.
That's right. T'Challa. Yes. The little kid came walking up, I was just like, oh yeah, it's a little T'Challa baby.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. And I remember you mentioning, well, they left the door open so that they can still use
a T'Challa as a Black Panther. So there's a door open for that now. This was very polarizing. I've learned
really?
A lot of people were like, don't do that. If you're not going to recast Chadwick Boseman, don't recast a T'Challa. Like, they just want no more. And I was fine with it. I think one that I was surprised that was, like, annoyed by it was Dave from the Comic Book Herald, if I remember right. I think he was the one that took that stance. And which is fine, you know, like, everybody can have their own thoughts about it. But I thought it was the best way to pay respects to Chadwick Boseman, not immediately recast.
Mm-hmm.
Let Shuri take the reins for a while, because
that kid has to grow.
The kid has to grow, or even if they recast another kid, like, it's going to be like, there's going to be the handoff eventually of that character. I don't know. I thought it was really cool. It was very heartwarming, very touching. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on that?
No, I need to see it again.
Yeah.
And I will.
Saw it twice.
But yeah, it was good. I went in wondering if we'd hear that. And for the longest time we didn't, and I understood why when it finally did happen, because we didn't have a Black Panther in the movie until Shuri finally got the synthetic whatever it was called, and we finally got it, and I got chills. I remember, like,
the heart shaped
the whole musical tapestry that had been created, the first version, the first Black Panther, you know. It was nice to feel it come back
for sure.
Yeah.
Let's do one more quick one before we take a break. Just quick general thoughts. General thoughts. On Werewolf by Night.
It was good. I was unexpected. I didn't know what to think. I still am a bit lost of what it's setting up, but I enjoyed it.
So this was like
It was a nice one-off.
Yeah.
You know?
So I'm curious to see if it... Well, I think it is a one-off in itself. Yeah.
But I'm sure that
I think they're going to play with those toys later. Yeah, yeah. So Marvel has done this thing of late of a Marvel special presentation. They have two of them now, Werewolf by Night and the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. Mm-hmm. There are rumored for two others. Remind me to talk about them in a second, and then we'll take a break. This one was released, I don't know if it was on Halloween, but like the week of Halloween. Very appropriate. It's all black and white, sans closing scene.
Yeah.
And it pays homage to a lot of like classic horror films and horror film tropes.
Silent film.
Yeah, silent film. Like, very, very well done. It's like 45, 50 minutes long. It has, as far as characters that anybody would possibly recognize, as Man-Thing.
Yeah.
Which is not the Swamp Thing, right? Swamp Thing is the DC version. Yeah. Swamp Thing and Man-Thing look similar in my mind.
I can never remember. While you're talking about it, I'm going to gurgle which one came first.
Pull up. Yeah. I bet it's DC seemed to beat Marvel to the punch on most of these characters. But it's a... How would I summarize that movie? Basically, there's a wealthy father-like figure passes away, and he has some sort of treasure, and these people that are all hunters come to basically compete in this... Tri-Wizard Tournament-esque like maze to find this treasure, and there's a beast out there that's gonna get them. And they show up. It has Jack Russell is played by Gael Garcia Bernal. Elsa Bloodstone might be the next like popular character that people might be aware of. She was played by Laura Donnelly. Who else is in there? The Man Thing is in there. It was played by Casey Jones, but it was all like CGI. Yeah, there's some like funny elements in it too, but it was just really well done, honestly. I was surprised at how good the Man Thing looked, like CGI wise. Like it was not a low budget affair.
Mm-hmm.
People still give She-Hulk flack for that being at least not as good as what
I mean, granted,
Bruce Banner looks like.
We see She-Hulk in like every frame of She-Hulk. We see Man Thing in a handful. So
right,
they're able to maybe spend a little bit more time on it.
Yeah. It was good. It's like it's a one-off. I've only watched it the one time. I can't remember every detail. I just remember thinking like I would take more Marvel specials over more Disney Plus MCU shows.
Yeah.
Just because of like the little thing. And I think that more after watching the Guardians of the Galaxy one too. Like really? There's little vignettes that they can plant some seeds here and there, and then they can play with those toys later. Like they don't have to commit to a full film. They don't have to commit to a full series. But really solid. There are rumors that we are getting a Nova Marvel special presentation and a Vision Quest Marvel special presentation.
Cool.
We'll see if that actually happens, but the two that they put out have done very well and people seem to like that formula.
So, lightning round trivia, where the questions are faster than I was able to find the answer.
Yeah.
Which one do you think came first?
I gotta think it was Swamp Thing.
No.
Really?
But
Marvel beat them.
Marvel's Man-Thing made its debut appearance in, I think it was called Tales of Suspense.
Tales of Suspense?
In May of 1971.
Really?
Swamp Thing made his appearance in House of Secrets in July of 1971.
Wow.
It's kind of like
months apart.
Doom Patrol and X-Men
were
like that same thing, but Doom Patrol beat X-Men to the punch.
Do you think they knew about each other?
I've watched videos where they're talking about that. Like, there was a lot of people bouncing around.
Sure.
And it's kind of unlikely that somebody would...
Because even if it's
independently
not
come up
true,
with
true, even if it wasn't like a straight up, like, oh, they've got a man swamp of the swamp character, we better copy him.
Yeah.
Even if it's not true, people are going to think that. It's like, oh, well, DC's just copying Marvel.
Yeah. Now, I mean, granted, Swamp Thing went on to have a very important and established line.
Sure.
I don't know that the same as...
I don't think Man-Thing has been as big in Marvel as what Swamp Thing has done for...
Swamp Thing goes on to be like uber powerful. Like he is the champion of the green, like all the green forces.
Mm-hmm.
So
they look kind of different from each other, right?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they have a similar vibe, but...
I'll pull some of this up here.
I mean, Swamp Thing is definitely more swamp.
Right.
And Man-Thing is definitely more thing. So
if you hear me typing, it's because I'm typing.
Yeah, they... I
see some images.
By the way, the Swamp Thing TV show, if you're ever curious, it was better than people made it seem.
That was the one that got like...
It got canceled super quick.
I want to look at this bigger. I mean, they're not like exactly the same.
No, no, they're not.
Like you can tell
them
apart.
They have similarities, but...
This is Man-Thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Swamp Thing here. Man Thing looks less like a man than Swamp Thing.
Yep.
It's one of those Greenland Iceland things.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. Any thoughts on Werewolf by Night? Liked it overall?
Yeah, I do.
Cute little vignette. Like,
I liked it. Michael Giacchino.
Big
time.
Talk about
he directed a few like small short films, but this was his first. And it's not really feature length, but, you know, 45 minutes. Significant.
It's a significant
feature.
Project. But he, for those that don't know, Michael Giacchino is a, I mean, that's putting it lightly that he just did it for this. He's like a very well-known
He's done
film
Star
score.
Wars. He did Lost. He did.
Very iconic music has been written by that guy. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to direct this thing and do the film score.
Yeah.
And knocked it out of the park, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back to get in with Alex and Drew, rank the MCU with Thor: The Dark World. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we're going to jump right into Alex and Drew Rank the MCU. Most recently, we watched Thor: The Dark World. If you didn't know already, if somehow this is your first time listening to us, I am so sorry. We have made this pretty elaborate Google sheet that has all of the MCU projects thus far, and we have created categories to rank all of these things on, such as, so we always start out with a gut reaction, and then we rank everything out of 10. So in the story category, we have like plot, character development, world building, representation, continuity, and the video stuff. We have things like color grading, CGI, composition of shots. We have like a score for like a score for like the score of the film and the sound design, the general effect of the film, like an emotional response, drama, the comedy, the action, any post-credit scene or comic references. All of this stuff is weighted. This is not a perfect system.
And because we've made some changes from time to time.
And we might update it to kind of like, if we've already made one change where we felt that the audio might have been holding a little bit too much weight since there's only two subcategories. I question sometimes if we nerfed it too much when we made an adjustment. So either way, the scores we give them are still going to stay the same. We just may give the weight, you know, something different. But if you would like to do this with us, we're going to give a link to this in the description of the show notes.
Hey, note to future self, remind me how to do that.
Oh, okay. Like,
where the link would be.
Right. So we'll get a copy of this, and all you have to do is open this up in either the Google Sheets app or on a web browser and just click make a copy. And you'll probably see my scores. We'll just give you the one that I have. So you can go ahead and delete all my scores. There are formulas input into all this. So all you have to do is rank everything out of 10. It's been a lot of fun. It's been an excuse for us to go back and watch the MCU, get some fresh eyes on things that we might have not seen in a while, and rewatches, and just the continuity of some things too. So super fun project. And when this is all done, we're going to average our scores together and have somewhat of a definitive list of this is how everything ranks. And our two-man average. Yep. We are through phase one, and we are started our second film of phase two with Thor, The Dark World.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, give me your gut reaction, and then tell me just like your overall thoughts of the film.
My gut reaction was to give it a 7.5.
Out of 10.
Out of 10. I am one of the three people on the world that actually like this movie. So I don't know. Part of the, you know, my appreciation for the more fantastical stories and like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, it kind of scratches that itch. But also, I don't know, I felt like Thor kind of came into his own a little bit more on this, and just elaborating upon the world, introduction of some important elements that would go on to, you know, have a lot to do with this whole story. I don't know, I liked it. A lot of people did not. I mean, it's not. It wasn't my favorite.
It's definitely not top shelf MCU.
It's currently tied in like a 4-way tie. I think 3 or 4-way tie for my gut reaction at number 4.
Uh huh. That's out of 8 films.
Yeah, because like I think Iron Man and the original, the Iron Man 1, Thor 1, both got a 7.5. Also.
Wow.
So somehow I put this on par with Iron Man, probably because the Iron Man film score didn't do it any.
The worst part of the Iron Man like score is far and away. It's just its music choices. Yeah. Like if you, it's just like here's some classic rock hits and that's it. So I did not destroy this one, but I definitely didn't like it as much as Drew did. Most MCUers I think hold this one somewhere near the bottom, and that. While that has, in my gut reaction, remained true, slight spoiler alert, you'll find out that it did a little better than some other films. So I gave this one a 6 out of 10. And it's always interesting also, so what we do when we do this scoring system is we do the gut ranking first. It's like, don't think about anything. Was this a good movie? Rank it out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 6, and I always like to see how close it gets to my final when I break it down and score everything else out of 10, like all these little micro categories. So let's talk about the story first. So I guess spoilers, if you haven't seen Thor Dark World, you friggin' weirdos. So we broke this into plot, character development, world building, representation, continuity. Cool. So the plot overall is okay. It gets a little long-winded in the middle of the movie for me, I think. So essentially, like, Thor, this is post-Avengers 1. Mm-hmm. You know, Loki's been arrested, taken back to Asgard, and he's in the dungeons in the prison. He's a prisoner of Asgard, and Jane Foster is still kind of, like, looking for Thor, and she stumbles across the Aether, which long-term MCU viewers will know that eventually is recognized as an Infinity Stone as soon as the post-credits scene for this film. It is the Reality Stone. She becomes kind of infected by that stone, like it takes residence in her body, and Thor has to come get her and take her back. And all the while, Malachi, the leader of the Dark Elves, who we get like a little bit of a preamble of what history they have with Asgard in general and them trying to get the Aether for themselves to use that power, comes back to life and is essentially trying to attack Asgard to get to Jane Foster, who is infected with the Reality Stone. Some people die. Frigga dies protecting Jane from the Dark Elves. Thor has to break Loki out of jail to get his help, but he doesn't trust him. I would say overall, like, that's the richest part of the storyline for me as far as, like, character development. What did I give? See, I gave character development a 7.5 out of 10 on this, mainly for the stuff with Loki. Like, I feel like that deals with, like, him trying to, like, reconcile losing the people that raised him, specifically his mother, Frigga, who he seemed to be most close with, but also just being, like, truly at war with himself after what he just did to trying to take over Earth and now being a prisoner from his own father. Some interesting stuff there, but that is the highest score that I gave in the story category. It was a 7.5 out of character development. What about you? I guess that'd be a quick way to do this. Like, what did you rank highest? Well?
I gave world building because I felt kind of backed into a corner. I gave the first Thor a 10 world building because it established, oh, there's not just Earth.
Sure.
And that was huge. And this one, it was not, there's not only that there's things other than Earth, but there are 9 realms,
right,
according to Asgardian mythology. And we actually get to see a bunch of them. So I was kind of like, well, this took what we had and developed even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then also introduced the concept of the Infinity Stones. So I was just like, I guess this has to be a 10 also.
Right.
You know, maybe I should go back and bump down the original one. Or It could just be that there's going to be a bunch of 10s in world building for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, now it's fine. So people may be thinking like, dang, Alex is dumping all over these movies. It doesn't matter what Drew and I's score is relative to each other because we're going to average them together. It's as long as we're consistent on our own rankings movie to movie.
Yeah.
So Drew giving it a 10 makes sense. I understand all that stuff. I mean, giving a 7.5 for character development, I gave it a 7 in world building. So It was right next to my highest score for that. I agree. The Infinity Stone, I believe, correct us if I'm wrong, if you know that there was an Infinity Stone mentioned prior to Dark World.
I don't feel like there was.
There was one in Avengers,
The
Tesseract, but I don't recall it being referenced as an Infinity Stone.
Did Loki have his staff yet?
He did.
But, so technically there's that one too, but We just didn't know anything
about that. But we didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
At least I don't remember that. What happens? What's the post-credit scene for...
I couldn't.
Does Thanos grab the gauntlet and say, fine, I'll do it myself at the end of Avengers?
Maybe. That might be it.
That's adjacent to mentioning stones, and just because we know the glove takes the stones. But as far as like seeing them reference the stone in the post-credits scene of this film, they give it to the Collector to hold on to, and then they reference that they have the Tesseract on Asgard and not wanting to keep two stones so close together.
Yeah.
Overall, that worked out to... me having out of 30 total possible points, a 20.5 on the story.
I've got a 22, which puts it, I think, also in fourth, maybe third.
So for story, I have that in, where's first? First, second, third, it's fourth for me as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, which surprises me after the score. Currently, it is ahead of the first Thor film.
Yeah.
Which if somebody said, pick a film to watch. You want to watch Thor or Thor 2? I'd say Thor.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That might be a theme that carries across. Okay, so video stuff. So Drew and I do a lot of film and video stuff already. So we felt that we were at least somewhat qualified to like make some commentary on just like color grading and composition stuff that we like, at least, you know, that we appreciate for, like we tend to have an eye for that thing, I think, more than maybe your average viewer would. Video score, my highest score I gave for, and this was kind of a far and away, and I think it's just by the nature of what it is the costuming.
Mine was the same.
I give it a 9.5 out of 10. Like, I mean, there's so many different costumes and layers and updates and just like just the Asgardian stuff. And then they did like multiple versions of that, having to go back in time for when like Bor was the king of Asgard and the old war and the dark elves. There's just some cool costuming. I always love how like epic Heimdall looks. There's just super cool costuming stuff done through this whole film. Is that what did you give it?
I mean, mine was a 7, and I actually was like, I wasn't all that in love with them, because I guess whenever I was putting it, I wasn't thinking back to the very beginnings. It just, it all felt like variations on a theme to me. It wasn't like they were brand new ideas.
Right.
And the only reason that costuming got my highest in that category was because everything else was like just okay to me. Like the coloring was pretty stark. Yeah. The CGI was not bad, but there was nothing that really made me like, oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's just a few cool moments. Yeah. So like, I don't know if CGI is responsible for like the floating vans in the early scenes.
It
could be like practical effects, with some like animations just to key out some stuff.
Cause that was a nice moment.
Those are cool. I don't know if that's straight up. I mean, they're the Aether for sure is CGI. And then, yeah, there's not a ton. So CGI also, I mean, I was pretty friendly to it in the video stuff. The color and the composition, though, were on the lower end of some of the stuff we've seen. Overall, this ended up at a 15.3 out of 20 for me, and that is near the bottom.
Mine actually ended up
is at the bottom?
Mine was 10.8 and puts it at second to last, only beating out Hulk.
I actually have it beating... That's crazy that you have it beating Hulk to me, but it's fine. Mine's next to last, and it actually beat the first Thor again, which is surprising. I think it's, I mean, spoiler alert, if you don't catch the theme, even though I like Thor, if I were to pick a movie, I scored it higher than the original Thor, barely. I can't remember what I got to, but we'll get to that. You have it beating Hulk in CGI. That's amazing.
Well, I mean, not necessarily CGI. It did beat it in CGI. I just remember, I don't feel like the Hulk CGI... aged as well as this did. Like,
sure.
I found myself...
I think it's more ambitious.
Yeah.
I mean, like the whole character is CGI, you know? Yeah. I guess Mjolnir is all CGI, right? Well, I mean, anytime it's flying, it has to be.
And he didn't lean on it too much this time, though.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. That's true. Cool. That was a 15.3 for me out of 20. What did you give it?
10.8.
Oh, you were the Simon of this one.
Yeah, I mean, because most of them were fives. I was just like, color, 5. I was not excited about it. Composition, there was nothing that really... that I wasn't watching it from a like a cinematography composition mindset, and nothing made me stop and do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So yeah, I was the mean one on this one.
So I'm always curious to hear your audio stuff.
It was...
Knowing that you do this for a living.
Yeah. I mean, I put the score at 6.5, which is middle of the pack.
I had it 7.25.
Yeah, and my sound design was 6. Also, middle of the pack. Actually, no, sound design. Okay, it's right above the bottom.
I gave sound design a 7.
It's just because...
7.5 for the score.
There was nothing that made me stand up and take notice.
Yeah.
It was like, it did its job. I enjoyed the music more than I did Iron Man.
Yep.
For sure. But it wasn't like... It didn't make me familiar with Thor themes enough to really be like, oh, there it is. There's the leitmotif. There it is. This is what's happening. It was just kind of like, no, the music was in service to the movie. Mm-hmm. The sound design was in service to the movie, but nothing ever to the point that I was like, holy crap. Maybe for that reason, it should have been higher, just that it did its job.
Right.
But I'm trying to be critical of this because I know what's coming, which might be something I shouldn't be doing. But I know that there are some, like Guardians of the Galaxy, the score or the music that they used changed
all
things.
All bangers, yeah.
And it's just, and same thing with No Way Home. Like there are moments in there that just make me weep because of the music.
Yeah.
And this didn't do that to me.
Sure. It does feel a little bit soundscapey.
Yeah.
I think Asgard has a pretty recognizable theme, though I say that and I probably couldn't sing it back to you right now. But every time I hear it, I'm like, oh yeah, this. Okay. I remember this. But it, you're right. It's nothing like Guardians. It's nothing like hearing an Avengers theme or Cap's theme.
Or Black Panther.
Or Black Panther at all. Yeah. Like that might be like the standard for me as far as just like, oh, stylistically and thematically, this is just like firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
So.
And that's not to say that I don't know who wrote the music.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
It's perfectly fine.
It was just like, it was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a middle of the pack for me, I think. Actually, I'm doing not a great job of like really separating everything I have right now ranges between 6 and 7.2. Okay. So I gave Avengers a 9 overall because it like has that really recognizable Avengers theme. But everything else minus Avengers is like between 6 and 7.7.
Yeah, me too.
Like super close.
Other than Iron Man, which was a 5.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was thinking like total score for sound design.
Oh, yeah.
For score, it's much wider. I gave Iron Man a 4.
Yeah, this one ended up in third, it looks like. Oh, no. Sorry. Fourth behind because Avengers beat everything out.
So. I have this one tied. This seems crazy. This is what I put. So overall total score, it's just the math worked out this way. It is tied with Captain America, the First Avenger, and Iron Man 3. But for different reasons. Like the score is just weighted out that way. Last category for this is general effect. This includes like your emotional response to the film, the drama of the film, the action, the comedy. And then in one category together, we have like fan service, post credits, scenes, and then comic book references. My highest score for this far and away was the post credit scenes,
mine
the
too.
Comic references. Mainly again for that same reason, the Infinity Stones, opening up the collector, and like the like it's a hard acknowledgement of where we're going. I think we have seen Thanos at that point, we have for sure. We've seen him. Say fine, I'll do it myself. I think maybe that's at the end of Guardians. I don't know. We see him for the first time talking, I think, at Guardians when he's talking to Ronan because Ronan borrows the Power Stone from him.
I couldn't tell you.
We'll get to that in two movies, I think.
Okay.
Overall, I gave that one an 8.5 out of 10, and then everything else was kind of low.
And mine was 7.5 out of 10 for fan service. Everything else was in the 6-7 range. Drama, not as much. I'm sure there was drama, but there was nothing that like tugged at my heartstrings.
Yeah, my next highest score was a 7 out of 10 on action.
But I think this one ended up sitting middle of the pack again for the overall placements.
Yeah. So I finished overall with a 67.08 as my overall score.
I finished with a 67.08333333 repeating for my score. So
that was not planned at all. But we basically mathematically had the same score.
That doesn't mean that this ended up in the same placement overall with us, because my 67 is probably a higher score than your 67 made it.
Yeah, so where does this... I need to figure out... I'm not a Google Sheets wizard. I wish I could like click one button. Or maybe there's a formula that like will check the grand total and then put them in order. That's got to be a thing.
I think this ended up being like sixth of what we've watched so
far.
Let's
see. The most notable thing is that I did have it barely. So I had Thor, the original, at a 66.92. So just shy of a 67. And this one got just over a 67. So it barely beat Thor for me.
This ended up behind Thor and behind the original Iron Man.
Right.
Looks like the only... Actually, it's like... It ended up ahead of Iron Man 3 and ahead of Hulk.
So it just goes to show, like, it doesn't necessarily mean you like the movie better if you rank it better. Like, you can just like something more for it. Because I would much rather watch the first Thor than Thor Dark World.
Yeah.
Even though there's, like, much more developed at this point, I think Thor, as the character, is more fleshed out in Thor Dark World and more interesting, maybe.
Yeah.
Than it's like, just like the bumbling man from another time. Yeah,
Chris Hemsworth is starting to figure out how to play this character.
Yes, more so than in Thor 1. But I still prefer the vibes of New Mexico and the Destroyer.
Yeah.
I think because it feels a little more self-contained, I tend to not love every MCU film being world ending and world breaking, but the ones that are more like Iron Man, this is a relatively personal problem for a Marvel thing, right? Like he's going against his dad's friend, now boss type thing. And, you know, they're just, when it's a little more self-contained and then we get to have the big events where it's truly world ending, that's what I'm more interested in. So overall, where do I have this? So there's my high film was The Avengers. That's who I have in first right now. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sixth?
Fascinating Radio.
Yeah. Sixth place, I think.
So me too.
Yeah. So it's okay. That number is going to go down quite a bit whenever we watch the rest of phase two and
it's
three.
It's safely at six, soon to be 20th, 30th.
Right.
You know, that's just what's going to happen.
So another thing we're trying to avoid doing is like having a recency bias, which is really hard to do, especially with how badly we are at like staying on top
of watching. With the exception, like we have made the comment that for the continuity, it's okay for us to know where it's going to take us.
Yes.
Knowing that we can go back and change it if we feel like we need to at some point. But yeah, everything else.
If the Avengers can time travel, so can we.
Yeah.
I'm really liking this though. I'm excited. So the next film I think is going to be a pretty crazy one. Yeah. And Drew.
So, okay. At the beginning of this, I can't remember if we talked about this on the initial Alex and Drew Rank the MCU episode, but we had asked, I asked Alex, might've been off mic, like which one was he the most excited to rewatch and which one was he the least excited to rewatch? And this next one that we're about to watch is my least anticipated one to rewatch, even though it is considered by many to be one of the greatest films of the MCU.
Which is crazy to me, and we haven't said it yet. So we're watching Captain America and the Winter Soldier next, which if you didn't know, sorry if you hear me adjusting my mic, it's leaning a little bit. If you didn't know, it was the first Russo Brothers MCU project.
And just before Keyboard Warriors, there's no comments on a podcast, but before you angrily
tweet at us,
unsubscribe already. The reason that I'm not anticipating it isn't because I don't think it's going to be good. It's that I honestly can't remember what happened.
Which is also kind of insane, but it's at least better than you not thinking it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's going to be some sort of spy thriller, great. I don't remember what happens, and that's all there is to it. It's just like, I'm sure it's going to be great, and I like what the Russo brothers do, but I couldn't tell you other than the fact that we see a silver arm.
The Russo brothers make love to the MCU is what happens. Yeah.
So, and also just, you know, while you're ready to hate me.
Yeah.
All you superhero keyboard warrior bros. The one that I'm most excited to rewatch is Captain Marvel. So.
Oh yeah, that might be.
Is that more controversial than this one?
Which one? Yeah. Which take is more controversial? Drew being more hyped to see Captain Marvel than Winter Soldier, or him not remembering Winter Soldier at all.
Well, the reason that I'm really excited to see Captain Marvel is because it's like, it's one of the few movies I haven't seen twice.
Oh, cool.
Because
that's got to be true about Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Maybe you've only seen it twice.
I feel like I've binged watched the entire MCU on two occasions.
Okay.
It was leading up to Infinity War. And then also some other random time before that.
But surely you'd seen it before that those two binges.
No, I think the first binge was the first time I saw a whole lot of movies. Like, I didn't see Captain America, the first Captain America, until I'd already seen the Avengers.
Wow.
Because I didn't know that they were all connected at that point.
Yeah. I guess you were not really a Marvel boy back then.
No, I mean, I liked Marvel in that there were comic books and I dug Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah.
Civil War might have been the first time I watched everything. I was like, maybe I should watch everything leading up to this. Mm-hmm. So that's whenever I saw Captain America for the first time. I saw Civil War or Winter Soldier for the first time. And Hulk for like the eighth time, probably for whatever reason. And then I binged watched leading up to Infinity War.
Yeah. I'm going to guess now that Winter Soldier ends up being really high for you when this is all said and done.
Probably.
I think it's gonna be high for me. Like sometimes when I'm going back, Katie hates when I do this. Every time we watch a new movie, I'm like, where does that rank for you? And she's like, oh, stop making me rank things. And yeah. Anyway, but when I'm going back and ranking them myself, I'm like, dang, I forgot about Winter Soldier. That not forgot, but just in the moment, I'm like thinking about the Infinity Wars and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But Winter Soldier slaps y'all. Like it's very, very strong.
If things go to plan, we'll be watching it, I don't know, tomorrow?
Today, maybe soon. Tomorrow? Yeah, soon tomorrow. Yeah, let's do it. It's also, this is, I don't feel bad about this. There's no spoilers. You've seen this movie, but also, it holds a special place in my heart because it plants the seed for my favorite moment in the entirety of the MCU. It's planted in the opening scene of this movie.
Okay.
And it's on your left.
Okay.
We get that from this movie. Like that reference.
Thanks for spoiling it. I would have forgotten forever. That was coming from here.
No, yeah. It's so good of a moment that it doesn't matter that you know it's coming. It's that good.
See, I didn't remember Falcon showed up here.
That's where we get him.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great film. I think this might, before Infinity War, this was Nick's favorite MCU film for sure. He still raves about it. It's really good. It's super excited. Maybe we'll watch that one tonight or tomorrow. So the overall score for Thor Dark World is 67.08.
Just add some 3 threes to the end and you've got mine.
Yep. Don't think of this necessarily as like a traditional AB system. There's some, you know, we gave.
Yeah, because the worst movie isn't going to get a zero.
Right.
Everything's a lot bunched closer together.
Do you have Hulk is the worst movie right now?
Probably. I closed it.
I have mine at a 49.6, which, you know, is considerably lower than Thor. It's almost 20 points shy.
It's Hulk is 9 points behind this one.
Yeah. So despite that, I think that's going to stay there.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've watched the worst one so far.
Unless somebody really just drops a bomb. Unless we added the Inhumans to this.
Yeah, then we take a dump all over that. I think it's going to stay there. And despite that fact, I'll still watch that several more times before I die, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, like none of these are just like hot garbage.
Yeah.
You know, like they're, if you're into the comic book thing and you're in the MCU, the continuity alone is enough most of the time to kind of get you through. It's just a fun world building project.
How far away are we from Civil War?
So we have to get through 4 films, I think, before we get there. So we have Winter Soldier next, then Guardians 1, then Age of Ultron, then Ant-Man.
Okay, cool, cool.
And if I remember right, the post-credits scene from Ant-Man is a scene from Civil War.
Okay, cool.
We're not that far away. Those Cap films, I mean, in time they were 2 years apart, but in the grand scheme, when you're going through everything, we'll watch it probably in early January.
Cool.
Maybe sooner.
Well, we've rattled on a whole lot. This was more of a, like, we'd gotten down to like 45-minute episodes for a while, but right now we're looking at about, oh, wait, no, this is wrong. There was a bunch of time beforehand. We might be about an hour right now.
Oh, cool.
Who knows? Maybe an hour and a half. I might not know how to read clocks.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. One day we'll get to the TVA and we'll have a long discussion about clocks.
Yes.
Super excited to be back. We're going to do our best to stay with this and try to get a weekly thing going again.
We'll be back with season 6 in 6 months.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Any closing thoughts?
I had a few. There were a few long pauses in this episode of us looking things up.
Yeah.
Just us remembering how to do this. But through that, I had a thought to see if there's anybody out there that would like to sponsor our gurgle breaks.
Oh, yeah.
So like if you're like, hey, I wouldn't mind having my goods and services mentioned, you know, baked into an episode that will live there in its entirety. So like we were thinking basically shoot us $5 and you will sponsor the next 5 episodes worth.
A dollar in an episode is not bad.
Of gurgle breaks. So that or IMDb breaks, whatever, while Alex is looking things up or I'm looking things up, you'll get a little plug for your business. So if you're listening to this and your social media empire, whatever you want, you know,
yep.
Just let us know.
We'll shout you out.
$5 for five episodes. 10 for 10, basically. Yeah.
We'll do it on a dollar rate, dollar per episode, minimum of five.
Yeah. And just reach out. You can email us at Drew, not Drew Morris Music. That's my email address. you could email us at twomancomicbookclub with the number 2@gmail.com. That's not with the number 2@gmail.com. Twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Let us know if that's something you'd be interested in. And by the way, I left all those, I'm going to leave all those awkward pauses in there of this episode, just so you know how many opportunities you could get mentioned in every episode.
For sure. Please like this podcast and subscribe wherever you're seeing it. This might end up on YouTube eventually, so I'm saying that part. But really what helps is just sharing this with people you know that might like the MCU or comic books or fantasy stuff, whatever it is. Goes a long way to sharing it. Leave reviews anywhere you can leave reviews for podcasts, whether that be Apple Podcasts is the most popular one, but I think Spotify, maybe a few other places offer reviews as well. Goes a long way. Drew, where can they find you?
Let's on see if I media? Oh, me.
Or, either way, us, you.
Let's do us first and yeah. We'll close out. You can find me basically at drewmorrismusic.com. There's ways that you can find my social channels there. I have recently started trying to take my YouTube a little more seriously. You can find that instead of a whole long line of random letters. You can find youtube.com/@DrewMorrisMusic.
Go watch his donut video. It's super cool.
Yeah. What about you?
You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller on all social media platforms. Wayne is spelled W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because even after all this time, I'm still Batman.
Yeah. You can. We'd love you to reach out to us. I don't know when the last time either of us actually got on to any of our social accounts, but they exist.
Yep.
Two-man comic book. All of these are with the number 2, the numeral 2, not spelled T-W-O, because that sounds like T-Woman podcast, which there's nothing wrong with that.
The T-Woman special.
Yeah. Two-man comic book on Twitter. Two-man comic book club on Instagram, Facebook. We no longer have access to 662-MAN-FAN-8 as a phone number. If you call that, there's no telling who you're going to get. We do have a Patreon, patreon.com/2-MAN-COMIC-BOOK-CLUB. I feel like there's another one that I'm YouTube exists. We're going to maybe start trying to put some energy there eventually. Yeah, we have a
pretty big back catalog, though, and it's not gone forever. It's just gone while we get back in the flow of this. Yeah. We'll just leave it at that for now. We have plans for the future. But some really cool ways to like see the panels that we're talking about. We're actually doing comic book episodes. And just to see us, we put a lot of hard work and time and energy into those. So if you want to check those out and let us know if you like that or if you're like, I'd rather just listen to you in the car. Because we understand it's a big commitment, right? Like podcasts are way easier done in the car when you're already in there, you're already going. But like to take over your screen, you know, we're competing with Netflix at that point, and it's a little more difficult.
I could take them in a fight.
They're pretty big, man.
So, cool. I feel like there was something else, but I've forgotten. So, with any luck, we'll be back in sometime next week. We may, just based on when this one's coming out and everything, we may not be quite on the Monday morning release schedule for a while.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to be weekly until we settle in on a release date that is consistent.
Get back in the flow.
Yeah. Do you have any comic series you'd like us to read? At this point, we haven't decided what's coming next. So if there's something you're itching to hear us cover, shoot us an email.
Yeah.
I almost said drewmorrismusic@gmail.com again. Twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com. Shoot us an email.
For sure. I think that's been it for this episode. We will talk to you next time.
Now is the question where we figure out, do I remember which button to press to cue the outro music? I do.
There it is. We'll see y'all later. Bye.
Bye.
Podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
Chicka chicka. Do-yum-boom. There's our tag.
Yeah.
This is the chair.
Is it?
It is.